And we said appointed men, to be specific, right? People who are chosen of God for that purpose. And we said, can God speak through a madman? I doubt it, because God speaks where His Spirit is. Now, there are exemptions, like you say the donkey. Well, how many times have you heard donkey talk? So, I would leave that out. Hallelujah. Save that, you would not see God speak outside where His Spirit is, or outside where the influence of His Spirit is. And so, we said God speaks through men. Even when Jesus came in the flesh, or God was in the flesh, in His Son, we saw that John still had to say, this is the Lamb of God. Again, there has to be that validation, which of course validates Paul also. A prophet must validate. A prophet must validate. In Paul's case, many prophets validated. Prophet is someone who speaks inspired by God. Ananias will fall in that category. Barnabas will fall in that category. Peter, James, and John, who were pillars in the church, right? Galatians 2:7-9, will fall in that category. Alright, so we said God will always speak through men. So if you know how to listen to men, you know how to listen to God. And I gave you an instance last week. I gave you an illustration of a particular brother. Many years ago, I think about 10 years ago, or 11, we used to hold the fellowship at Ososam Ibadan, at King's Parish, the Redeemed Church. So we used to hold the fellowship on that stair, on the staircase. And so there's this well of salvation outside. This is the well of salvation. So I used to sit there. After, I was not the only one who was teaching in the meeting. Myself and two of my friends. So we used to rotate the teachers. And then we had people come around, a whole lot. From different denominations, you know, Sele, Deep Alive. From different denominations. And so we used to teach every Wednesday evening. And there was this brother that wanted to take a decision. And someone already came to me during the week. Right? Someone already came to me during the week to tell me that there's a particular brother in church that he has a word for. I said, what is the word? Before you go and, you know, before we think you have the word and something else. And I told you that that's what Peter and the apostles would mean by laying all at the apostles' feet. It's beyond, it's not physical faith, it's subjection. And when he said they sold all their lands and they laid it at the apostles' feet, he's talking about the fact that when they wanted to give something to the church, they would put it with the leadership. So even if I want to give Sister Dora something in the church, I would have to go through a cell leader. That's proper. That's laying all at the apostles' feet. And it's the doctrine of the church. It puts order in our midst. Such that you, like I gave you an illustration. For example, Paul gave instructions for people who would not walk, that they should not eat. That means the church would pressure them in that, in inverted commas. Not pressure, you understand what I mean, right? The church would stand on their neck to ensure that they are working for a living. Don't just be indolent. Don't be speaking in tongues where you are meant to be out there seeking a job. You know? So the church would be on their neck. For example, you now want to go to that kind of person and then say, I would take care of your food for the next 10 months. I, as the pastor, wouldn't allow you to do that. You get the point. So, but when you lay all that at the apostles' feet, he puts all that. But that's by the side. So, the brother came and said, he has a word for brother so-so-so. So I said, what's that? He said it. He said everything. I said, fine. I said, I already had inkling to this. I called the other people who are always teaching together and they said, okay, fine. Then the brother, I saw him during the week after I told him what the brother said, what I also perceived. That means you have two witnesses of the Spirit. And then he said, he wants to go and pray about it. Now, there's nothing wrong in praying about it, but what he said was, he said, I want to hear God for myself. There's nothing in hearing God for yourself, but sometimes you just overreach yourself. God has said, what did he say? There are things that God wants to tell you, tell God that. Because you also have the Spirit of God. So, you want to hear God for yourself. Then I asked him, I said, how? Like thunder, like drum set. Because I wonder how you want to hear God if you will not listen to the people he sent to you. And many Christians have actually fallen prey of the enemy. Because we felt, is this brother giving me a word of knowledge? This brother does not even have a good shirt. He doesn't even have a good brother. This brother. I will hear God for myself. Ow. When it's raining. God speaks through men. And we said that validates the fact that men can now write the Holy Scriptures on God's behalf. So we have people like Isaiah, pen it down, and they will say, thus hear the Lord, and that's what he said. Because he's an appointed man. We saw that in Amos 3:3, right? Can two walk together unless they are agreed? I think we have milked that scripture very well. Right? Right? And we saw that, again, that's God's agreement with his prophet to speak on God's behalf. Who will go for us? That means God is not going to talk to the house of Israel. A prophet has to go. When God was going to deliver Israel from Egypt, what did he do? He sent Abraham. Okay. He sent Moses. And so Moses will become the God. So whatever he says is what God said. God said, let my people go. Exactly, that's what he said. You can't say, you God said it. Say, let him tell us himself. God, maybe you go and listen to you tune to God on Spotify. As far as Moses is concerned, thus hear the Lord. Amen. And so we said that validates the fact that men can speak on God's behalf, men can write on God's behalf, right? Right? And we saw that how Jesus also took 12 men to speak on his own behalf. Out of the 12, there was one son of perdition, Judas. So sometimes you can't judge a church by one of its members. Hallelujah. Imagine Judas. Jesus was the one teaching Judas. And he still misbehaved. So when you see someone outside and say, I thought you attend Jesus' church. I beg you. Pick another example. Praise God. So, we said, Paul becomes more like it. Of course, Matthias, you can't rule out Matthias as one of the 12. He is one of the 12 by the prophet speaking. But you can't rule out that God had a plan. And he chose Paul on his way to Damascus, Acts 9, which was reiterated in Acts 26. He chose Paul. He said, I've called you. You go into that city. It will be told you what you ought to do. So you bear my name among the Gentiles. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And so Paul becomes also that light bearer, as it were, called of God first, and he has the seal of apostleship. So let's move Ephesians 1. Verse 1. Paul, an apostle, and I said, like every book of literature, which the Bible is one of it, the Bible is a book of literature, yes, in this instance, with spiritual information. Like I said, like I always say, you can't rule out that it's literature because you see tenses, you see figure of speech, you see every anatomy of literature in the way the Bible is also structured. Punctuation sometimes, and what have you. But let's see, Ephesians 1 is a Paul and apostle. Again, here he's stating authorship. And I said last week or last 2 weeks, I can't remember which one or last 3 weeks, that authorship is always very important in any book of literature. Right? I also told you why we study by books. Was that last week? Or last 2 weeks? Last 2 weeks. Okay, so, again, we've already established why we study by books. I like many ways to study. Or many ways to teach, really. We said there are topical studies, and there's one I really discourage. Study by character. I don't fancy that, and I don't think it's very appropriate because a character is prone to flaws. Of course, if you're going to teach, you're going to teach his flaws and all of that. But really, studying by character delimits you to an extent. I think the topical study is better, or in another instance, book. And I gave you the advantages or the pros of why we can do a book-by-book study. Number one, it puts every word in its context, because you would have no other choice than to read the entire book. So by that, I now see, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Hey, I don't think it is shield like we did in children's church. Yeah, put shield, put sword. Yeah, put on the whole armor of God. You just look like a clown. You must have read from chapter 1. You must have seen his blessedness. You must have seen the power that rescued him from the grave. You must have seen how the believer who also had his conversation, I mean chapter 2, had his conversation in the word, has now been quickened, and he is now sitting together with Christ in chapter 2 verse 6. In verse 8, you see that by grace are you saved, not by works. In chapter 3, you see how that the wall has been broken down, the wall of partition. In chapter 2 verse 21, then in chapter 3, you see the power, love, In verse 20, he now said, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly far above what we can ask or think. Then in chapter 4, he starts saying the unity, baptism, one baptism, which you have said that baptism is a theme of, Okay. A theme of baptism. Ephesians. Well, look at the themes of Ephesians. We saw unity, right? What else did you see? Baptism. Freedom. Galatians. Vinicius Junior. Okay. Ministry gifts. Spiritual warfare. Okay, so we looked at, and we saw that from Paul's missionary journey, right? Where he left Apollos, where he left Aquila and Priscilla, who met Apollos. We looked at all of that. We've seen Demetrius, and we've seen Diana, the great goddess of the Ephesians. Alright. We'll come back to Diana now. There's a reason why I went there first. So again, so when you are doing book by book study, I also said it helps you to appraise literature. It helps you appraise literature. You know, look at what we did by, in our Galatians study and Ephesians study. You now go beyond, Ephesians 1:1. You now see, when did he even arrive in Ephesus? Who are the characters in Ephesus? You now start picking people like Apollos. You might have never known. You start picking people like Aquila and Priscilla, who are very vital characters in the ministry of Paul. You know, you get what I'm saying? So it helps you appraise literature. So you begin to know his missionary journey. When was that, his second missionary journey or the third missionary journey? When was it written? You know, right? No, for Galatians example, now we saw that Galatians was written 49 AD, right? Right? Have I told you when he went there first, his first missionary journey to 45 AD, Abby? So again, and that was when the book of James was written. Can you see how that just helps us to? So by then you are speaking or you're talking about that book, you are talking from an informed perspective. Is it making sense? You are talking like someone who has read his Bible. You know, the Bible study is not gaga. It's not, Paul. Like myself and my friends used to do those days. Those days is not foul. You know, don't think, see, I'm younger than I am. So, when I say those days, just think in your days. In your own days, your own wooden days. Alright, so, we'll take a verse. Crazy folks. We'll take a verse, we'll now say, everybody, go and find revelation. And truly, we always find revelation. But yeah, we come back. It's an amalgamation of nonsense. Everybody comes and say, there's one particular guy I told you before, he specializes in semicolon and comma. He said, observe where the comma is. Oh God, sometimes they even make mistakes. Like I will show you in Ephesians 1 now. Sometimes they even make mistakes in the commas. Because really, the one who wrote it, English language is a very recent language. And so, you can't compare English with Aramaic or Hebrew or Greek. Those are ancient. Those are way more ancient. Even the English we are reading now, is a reformed English over time. That's why you see some of your old Bibles have all this art, begat, you know, That's even a later English. There's an older English, you know, that you are not taught in school. And so if you are a student of language or a student of literature generally, you will know that, reading a translated literature, you will have to read in paragraphs and you have to read intentionally. You can't assume the punctuations are correct. As much as you must not be a punctuation fisherman. You must know, you can't also, throw caution to the wind and say, everything is fine. Alright, so Ephesians 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. If you see Paul, an apostle in Galatians, you know why he wrote it, Abby. Thank you. An apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus. And so we said, he opens up his letter by saying, saints in Ephesus. And you would have thought that saints are dead people, or people who have been massacred, martyred, and what else? Persecuted for righteousness sake. But Paul is saying, all of you are Ephesus. I mean, in context now, the church, right? He says, you are saints. The brother Casali, me too. He said, you are saints. You are saints. Saints in Ephesus. And I said, that becomes, that was like a chorus in all of Paul's book, right? There were only two books which he did not mention them as saints. Galatians and 2 Thessalonians. Every other book from Romans and Galatians, we both, all of us probably understand why. If you have been in teachings for the last 5 weeks or Sunday mornings, you understand Galatians, what the last lesson they even need to hear. Hallelujah. Alright. Hallelujah. Alright, but it's fine. It's not. So he didn't call them saints. Romans 1:7 called the church in Rome saints. Like that. He kept calling them saints. And the one that will marvel us most will be the church in Corinth. It will marvel us because Corinth is crazy. If I need that word. Corinth is the church where you find people beating people up, where you find people cheating people. I mean, Brother Pam, the pastor, is cheating in Corinth. And yet they were the ones that flowed in all the gifts of the Spirit. That means they had tongues, they had revelation, visions, sight and sound of the Spirit. Hallelujah. They had healings among them. They had the gifts of faith. They had prophecy. They had word of knowledge, word of wisdom. They had all of it in full operation. Yet with that they had pride. They had lasciviousness. They had malice. You know, they were taking each other to court. Sister Debbie is telling his promise that I will see you in court. After I said this, welcome 5 people. You're welcome, because you're welcome. See you on Monday morning. That's foreign for you, you know. Very organized place in the flesh. In church, they had a lot. They were eating food off as the idols. You call the brother King on phone. Bro, promise you go chop egg. Say, where did you find out? I got bus stop. As I come from a prayer chain like that, prayer group. Saturday morning, I just say, all meat belongs to God. I even deal with my disciple. You know, Corinth was a bad place. Not bad. They had the Spirit of God. They were divided. A whole lot happened at Corinth. I tagged it Paul's troubled church. Yet Paul called them saints in 2 letters. To the saints at Corinth. And so we said the sainthood is beyond conduct. It is conferred. That we looked at that, right? We looked at the word saint in the Greek, which is agios, right? Right? Agios. H-A-G-I-O-S. H-A-G-I-O-S. Which means separated, holy. Holy. So he called them holy. And we saw that from the Old Testament, from Genesis, to be precise. From Genesis to where God made the seventh day holy. Right? We looked at Exodus 3:15, where we saw the burning bush. Right? Take off your shoes. The ground on which you're standing is holy ground. Hallelujah. And we say, what does the ground do to be holy? What does the bread? We saw the holy bread, right? We saw the holy eel of God, right? In Psalms. So we say, what did the eel do to be holy? Or what did the temple do to be holy? Or what did the ground do to be holy? Or what did the king's robe or the priest's robe, what has it done to be holy? Nothing. I gave you a very good illustration, I suppose, about my dad's cup when I was growing up. Right? And I said, there's that cup that we don't use. No matter how thirsty you are, you go look for your own cup. That cup is always on like this, on at the center of the table. It's like one tray. No matter how drunk you are, whether in the spirit or in the flesh, you can't touch that cup. But young guy did me one day, my friend came home, so I could not tell him that it's a cup that is sacred. And this cup we don't touch. You would think that we're idol worshippers. So I took my dad's cup. See how I said it? My dad's cup. And then gave him water to drink. Living water. So as he was taking it from the cup, my dad walked in. And he said, he didn't see it at first. He just went in. Then my friend, as I took him, and he said, then he came and said, what cup was he drinking from? Is this one? I went to that one. He said, no, I saw it. My mom was just not there. You are calling for me. I said, don't disgrace me. Thank God he has even gone. That would have been an utter embarrassment. My friend has become that is fighting because of cup. That's how some have been. For GS3 students, your dad is fighting because of cup. You're not going to school. Then I can tell everybody that that means that he likes one cup like that. So I thank my God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for that salvation. Hallelujah. So again, what made that cup separate? Again, nothing was special about the cup. Save the fact that he has put it separate. And we looked at all those bread, the day that God called only the ground. Again, we said the only thing that would probably push out and say this is the reason why it was called holy was because God was there, right? For the temple, God was there. For the bread, it was separated for God's servants. For the day, it was meant for God's service. So a lot of things, but what would make a man holy? The presence of God. That's it. Again, so if as a believer, who has the Spirit of God, right? Right? You don't believe that? Galatians 5, 4 to 6. You have the Spirit of God, that's why we call our Father. Romans 8, 14. As men are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Amen? I have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of sonship by which we cry, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. So we have the Spirit of God. A man who has God's Spirit is holy on the premise of God's presence. On the grounds of God's presence. Nothing else. Conduct cannot make you holy. You can't call yourself holy. You can't achieve it. You can't earn it. It has to be confirmed. Amen? Amen? In fact, we went as far as saying, even God's holiness, when we say God is holy, that is conferred on Him by us. Hallelujah. Because, again, we looked at the dichotomy of that, Abby. Eh? In the sense that God is holy could be an Old Testament phrase and also could be consecration, right? So we must look at it. Don't be like that person that said, we can't say God is holy. Because I think God is holy, we are putting Him as separate from us, which is true. When you say God is holy, the reason why Israel said God was holy is because they felt God is not with us. God is a separate entity. But in the new creation, God is in us. Hallelujah. But yet, you must regard Him as holy. Amen? Because He didn't die for sin. Come on, did you? That reminds me of Galatians. Have you? Eh? Which one do you want to do out of it? To die or to resurrect? So Ephesians 1. To the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We explain all of this. Abby, can we verse 3 together? Why do you stop at places? In Christ. Alright. So, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, it's too bad that the punctuation was not proper. I prefer it should have been written as blessed be God and Father of our Lord. Then you put comma Jesus Christ. I think that's proper. Because you now put it in context as God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because the way it was written without punctuation is dangerous. I'm not going to go into that tonight. So blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And last week I pointed out that means the word "and" sometimes may not be conjunctive, right? Sometimes may not be joining two things, BC and Tola. You know, when you hear BC and Tola, you say two people, right? But here he's saying blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are those two people? That is, there's a God and there is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is that it? Eh? Is God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ? So sometimes the word "and" can be explanatory. Can be explaining something. That is, blessed be God, who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul is one of the greatest users of that kind of the word "and." Kai in the Greek. K-A-I. He uses it as explanation of the times. Where, look at, for example, he said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the love of God. He wasn't talking about two things or three things. And the fellowship of the Spirit. He was explaining the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is that He would now abide in us by His Spirit. That's the fellowship of the Spirit. That makes sense? That's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The giving of our Lord Jesus Christ. He gave us His Spirit. That's the love of God, right? Eh? His compassion for sin and sinners. Friend of sinners died for them. That's the grace of God. So the grace of our God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, is the love of God. And by that, He gave us, that's the grace of God, His Spirit. The fellowship of the Spirit. That makes sense? Come on, does that make sense? So, look at, and in that instance, is it explanatory or conjunctory? Eh? Explanatory. What about, except a man be born of water and the Spirit? Explanatory. So, He's not saying you'll be born of water and then be born of the Spirit. Like the deluded folk said, That's baptism. And you know, we said in Galatians, in our study of Galatians, that even John the Baptist was not baptized. So your argument will go a long way against you. I'm destroying the doctrine from the root. Because nobody did baptism in the entire Old Testament. The first person that will start it, which of course was still in the Old Testament, is John the Baptist. Hallelujah. And himself was not baptized. So, where will you start your explanation from? But again, that's not for this teaching. We have dealt with that in Galatians. I mean, we are dealing with that in Galatians. Galatians is a dealing. Amen. Amen. So, blessed be God. And we say, Paul uses this in the exact opposite of the way the world would tag blessedness. We look at the word blessed be God, right? Last week. Blessed. Eligiotis, right? Eh? Abi? To adore, right? So we adore God. No, he's not talking about you are going to bless God. How do you want to bless God? Because oftentimes in this present age and disposition, people tend to think that when you say you are blessed, that means you are rich. Bless you. That means money is coming to you. Oh, Abba. Abba. So we add blessings as it were, the empowerment to prosper or something like that. Nope. So how do you now say, blessed be God? You want to make God prosper. There's the word eulogetis, we have seen that last week, means to adore, to sing praises of someone. You know, to eulogize. You know, have you seen Yoruba people do that before? So say you can do that, right? Fine. And then the best person, hell is masquerade. Yeah, we see eventually Moto Gojama. You're alien to your destruction. Now person decides the clue too. Well, once the floor gave me my presence, I was beating the ego. Soldier, what to do, German? So again, Paul begins to use blessedness in a perspective. And I said, Christianity oftentimes changes your perspective. And kudos to Paul. This shows his depth in spiritual understanding, or his depth of spiritual understanding. Blessed be God who hath blessed us. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be God who has blessed us. Oh, he now puts the believer in the same shoes. We have also been blessed. Wow. I'm blessed. And I hope when you are saying that, you are not thinking, yeah, we have money. I'm blessed. Because sometimes it just defeats the purpose of it. I'm blessed. You know, I'm blessed. I asked my roommate when I was in school. He was counting money. I'm blessed. And then which one is the blessing? He said, can't you just bless my hand like this? Hallelujah. There's nothing deep about that one. Bless the God who has blessed us. Okay, let's put it in layman English. We adore God. Right? Who has blessed us. And when I said, the word blessed us is the word elogio, right? E-U-L-O-G-E-O. E-U-L-O-G-E-O in the Greek. I don't think you're asking me why we study Greek. Yeah, that's not a question to answer. We have answered that over 200 times. Literally. Elogio, it means to speak well of something, right? And we look at that from Jesus' sermon, bless them that curse you. Oh, is that give money to them that curse you? No, because curses is in words. What you say. Right? Right? How do you curse someone? Eyes? Eh? No, you say, yeah. That's curse. Hallelujah. I curse one guy in Zephaniah school. I will never curse against him. He disciplined me. Hallelujah. He taught me the scriptures. He taught me why I should not be cursing people. Bye. He waylaid me as I was going. And I don't have strong friends. All my friends are like me. As I went, I already told him, today something can happen. No. He said, why? I have jabber. I've just, so we changed our route. I said, the guy knew we would change it. We should have just been dumb. We now acted on wisdom of this world. We now changed our route. So he would have just passed the normal place. He knew what we would change the route. He now went to safe. And the other, he did. And the person that did something, the person that did something. He can't even beat my friend past me. Now my friend, he's not a good friend. He said, I'm not the one now, I'm not the one now. And the rabbit said, I'm not the one now. I told him, your father. And he likes his father, I didn't know. Hallelujah. Hey, so how do you curse? You curse with your mouth. In fact, literally, curse means to speak evil. So, Jesus said in Matthew 5, bless them that curse you. So, you are going to now speak well of the people that speak evil about you. Hallelujah. You are going to speak well of the people that speak evil about you. How easy is that? Someone says, you are useless. And you say, oh, and I'm useful. You are very useful. How easy is that? So you should do it often. You should do it often. Hallelujah. Bless them that curse you. Speak well of them that curse you. We go back to Ephesians 1:3 now. Blessed be God. We adore God. We sing praises of God. Who has blessed us? Who has spoken well of us? That makes sense? So, can we say, we speak well of God who has spoken well of us? Huh? Eh? So let's go. Blessed be God who has blessed us. With all what? Eh? With all spiritual blessings. And we said this entire verse will be taken from where? Moses. Right? Right? Moses number 6, Abi. Eh? God bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. He will be gracious to you. Right? Number 6, 22 to 27. We have looked at that already. And we said, God told Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, you will stand before the congregation of Israel and you will say to them, God bless you. God keep you. He will make his face to shine upon you, which you have seen as salvation. Right? Right? Good, fine. Yeah. Yeah, for Moses. So, you will stand before Israel and say, God bless you. Then Paul comes and says, he has blessed us. So he puts it in perspective, and I said, you must always learn to maintain the tenses of redemption. Where he puts it in the past, he puts it in the past. Where he puts it in the future, he puts it in the future. Where he puts it in the present, he puts it in the present. And I gave you an instance last week, right? He has blessed us. He has forgiven our sins. We have been delivered. Those are past. They are not going to happen. We have been forgiven. God took our sins, drowned them in the ocean, and wrote no fishing. Hallelujah. Fine. He's at work in us. That's the present. Is that what he says? He was not at work in us. He was at work in me. Ah. Oh, the backside. Oh. I can't understand. He's at work in us. Hallelujah. His power, his glory is at work in us. Amen. His grace is at work in us. Fine. In the future, he will, he will redeem our bodies. You can't be so pompous and say, our bodies have been redeemed. See, as you're looking at me like this. Lord Abash, Kadosh. I'm living a redeemed body. Redeemed body that is getting dark under the sun. Redeemed body. You fell down, you bled. Redeemed body. You said I was strong. That's why you don't make the meeting. You are not redeemed though. Your body is not redeemed. Redeemed body. You cannot disappear to US now. You have to do Zoom meeting. We'll be redeemed. Hallelujah. Can you see the tenses now? Right? For John will not mince words. He said, when he comes, we know we shall be like him. Right? And he was talking about our bodies. We'll be transformed. We'll have that redeemed body. And it's part of the creed of the gospel. It's part of the charters of the gospel. You can't take it away. That Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen. That's the glory. The fact that this body, one day, immortality will swallow up mortality. Sickness will be no more. Amen? See that day? Eh? We'll keep for tasting. Amen. So Paul says, blessed be God. Back to Ephesians 1:3. Look at the Bible there. Blessed be God who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And that's where, I don't know, false teachers begin to try. I've heard someone say, the blessings are spiritual. They're spiritual. You now have to convert it to physical. How do you, say it? What else am I going to say? Blessings, blessings, convert, convert. To MP3, blessing in the name of Jesus, convert. The blessing ask you, to what currency? Say, which one? Pounds, oh. Pound sterling, oh. Blessing no go convert to Naira, oh. There's no blessing that converting. What is the converter? Confession. And people are writing down. What are you writing? Exactly. What is that? You almost said you convert spiritual to blessing. You didn't ask for the converter. Ask. Do your diligence. Ask. Pastors, I get everything. The spiritual and the physical. I need this back too. How would they run this thing now, Pastor? As I come to say, I get spiritual blessing now. Pastor, how about we take a run now? For this blessing, I won't bring Lexus on Sunday, Pastor. Pastor say, just confess it. Pastor, you should confess now. Confess now, Pastor. What do you confess is all this? Spiritual is the word pneumaticos. P-N-E-U-M-A-T-I-K-O-S. P-N-E-U. M-A-T-I-K-O-S. I recall a particular meeting, my first meeting in Medilab, not in Lagos. Unilag, medical school. Get the title of the sermon. Perio-pneumaticos. What I was thinking, I might not be able to say. Faith, you attended that meeting? At a Penguin. Oh, you attended? You attended. Perio-pneumaticos. How that one take is every plane net or speed? You are already confused before the meeting. You don't have to plan. And so I had to learn how to speak in plane net. Fine. I just felt, let's shake this place. So pneumaticos means pertaining to the spirit. Something that is not carnal. When you say carnal, carnal means human, humanly. So, when you say spiritual means something that is not human, is not material. It is by, in, and of the spirit. Is it making sense? So when you say spiritual blessings, in this instance, it will be blessings by the spirit, blessings of the spirit, blessings in the spirit. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Blessings by, in, and of the spirit of God. Pneumaticos, pertaining to the spirit. So, he has blessed us with blessings pertaining to the spirit. Or with blessings of, in, and by the spirit. That makes sense? So, you now need to define what blessings are in the spirit. Because, definitely, having a G-wagon is not by the spirit. Abi, I'm lost. Abi, I'm not current. You can speak in tongues and get a G-wagon. Eh? I got one I was going for an interview. Was not speaking in tongues. It's a Lego shock up. Ah, sir. You should have done this yesterday. These tongues. You have done it yesterday on your prayer chain. Interview. Read what they ask you to know. Bible says when you speak in tongues, your mind is unfruitful. You need your mind where you are going to. Hallelujah. You have just one job. Take your mind along with you. And that mind now, to also let the Lego stroke over. Hey, that I, you're not going to get this job. It's like, it's these tongues you'll be speaking of. You don't speak in tongues and to become the president of Nigeria. Is that a blessing really? No. It's a responsibility. It should be a responsibility. Amen. Shoot. Alright, so, we have blessings in the Spirit, by the Spirit, and, so put that. So, blessed we speak well of God, who has blessed us with blessings in the Spirit, of the Spirit and by the Spirit. Where is this blessing? In heaven. That's what it says. We are still going to look at this much more next week. And it's not necessary. Most likely, well, next week, maybe. Well, I'm enjoying it. When I look at the spiritual, but I want to focus on something else today. In the Spirit, of the Spirit, and by the Spirit. Every time you find that word spiritual used, it is used for what God did. Or what is not humanly achieved. So sometimes it's not God. Because you can have spiritual darkness in every place, spiritual forces. You can say, so spiritual darkness in every place is God. No. But it's used for what is not humanly achieved. It is orchestrated by the Spirit. It makes sense? That makes sense? Let's read Ephesians 1:3 again. Everybody, hear what he said? Want to go? So he says, he has blessed us with all. Now let that word all pass, P-A-S. I've told you before that every time you see the word all in the Bible, it's safer, as it were, to put it in context. Because there's really nothing in the Bible that is general. So when I say all, I must ask myself, all of what? I can do all things. Definitely not. So you must find out what is the all things he said he can do. And we have seen that many times. You read the Philippians 4 very well. You have learned that what he was saying, that I can abound, I can abase. When there's much resources, I can try. When there's no much resources, I will try. I can do all things, all these things. It makes sense? Through Christ that strengthens me. Does that make sense? Because Philippians is tribulation, Philippians is persecution. So you now say, I can survive, I can do all this, I can abound and I can abase. I can suffer lack and I can abound in plenty. I can do all these things. So you must always put all this. Make sense? Because there's nothing really like all. All things are yours. Oh, yeah, done. Take my wife. You know that all things are not yours. I'll break your head. Hallelujah. All things are yours. Send Buhari away. He took you out of the country. Go and sit on the thing and say you want to give speech this night. You can do all things now. Abi, become president tomorrow morning. Let dollar be $1 to $1. If you can do all things, please do that one. I'm begging you. Do that one. Hallelujah. You can't do all things. It's just cruise. You can't do all things. How can you say you can do all things? You that did not pass exam. Euro jam like 5 times. You know you want to do all things now. So you must put what Paul is saying in context. I can do all these things. When he says, all things are yours and you are Christ. That's a box. All things are yours. Then that is whether life or death or Peter or Apollos. That's not even you. You can't even quote it for yourself. Do you have Apollos? Do you have Peter? Where? As a Gumbawale? Can't find Peter. So he's talking to the church in Colossae. Corinth. You have all are yours. Be fighting it. All are yours. Are you doing of the car downstairs? No. Are you doing of this building? Come on Monday morning. Okay, Monday is when school has resumed. Walk into the priest's house and say, the Bible says, I don't know if you have seen it, but I've seen it in the Word. The Bible says, as children of God, all things are ours. I don't know about others, but mine is this one. They say security. We'll call Lagos State a madman. We'll put it like boss. How can all things be yours? Are you just not greedy? So, every time you see that word pass, all, you must put it in the context of the writer. See, there's nothing, that would be careless to say nothing. There are few things that are as important to literature as the context in which it is written. I gave the instance of someone that said, that sister, we were so close, so we used to sleep together. And what he was talking about was, when they come for vigils, like, they are so close that they can even share the same mat. See, context. But he said, we used to sleep together. Grow! Contest! We need to sleep together. No! We don't sleep together. We can share the bed. Hallelujah! You get what I'm saying? So again, imagine you don't know the person. You just say, in that church, they used to sleep together. Voila. Okay? In that church, they used to sleep together. They just sleep together. In fact, they don't even hide it. They just say, I heard that one now. Said, yeah, that's right. They used to sleep together. He even said it with pride. Everybody was laughing. It's because you understand the context. You get the point. You tell your boss, that's your cup of tea. While like there's no cup of tea on the table. You know you're in trouble if there's no cup of tea on the table. You have to look for a cup of tea. So you have a cup of tea on the table. Amen? So, context. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings. Before you start thinking, Father says I can have visa to the US. Who could have the US? There's no need for visa. By the nation. You move very stupidly. You have all blessings. You guys look like heavenly place in Christ. Heavenly in Christ. Swan Baptist was heavenly in Christ. He said you have all spiritual blessings. So we need to say, can we say all these spiritual blessings? Because he will mention them. Is it making sense? Often when you have the word all, the context of the all is always around where you're reading. So you pay attention. Does it make sense what I just said? The context of all that he's talking about is always around where you read it. Only bad readers just pick things out of context and run away with it. You are a bad reader with an impure motive. So, blessed be Father, the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all these spiritual blessings. Or, all these blessings in the Spirit, of the Spirit, and by the Spirit, in heaven. And if you look at the context of Ephesians now, you discover that all these blessings will now be, verse 4, according as he has chosen us. Look at the Bible. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. That's the blessing, right? That we should be holy. Don't forget the blessing will be in words. Right? We speak well of God who has spoken well. So how did he speak well of us? He chose us. Before the foundation of the world. In verse 5. Ephesians 1:5. He predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself according to the good pleasure of his will. That seeks to the praise of his glory, to the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us what? Accepted. Is that a blessing? So, he called us accepted. He called us accepted. We are still going to look at all of this one by one. We have not gotten to all these verses. He called us accepted. That's the blessing. That's the blessing. So when he said, he has blessed us with all these spiritual blessings, you must be able to find them out. Amen? Learn something? Verse 7, we say, forgiveness of sin. We have redemption through his blood. Even the forgiveness of sin. Verse 8, he made wisdom abound towards us. Or he abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence. Those are the blessings of God. Or those are the blessings in the Spirit, of the Spirit, and by the Spirit. That makes sense? That makes sense? Those are blessings by the Spirit. So bless me God. He has blessed us. He has blessed us. He has blessed us. Amen. He says, with all spiritual blessings, in heaven, the word places is italicized. When you see the word italicized, let me just tell you the way KJV is written. It means it was not there in the original text, but they felt it will fit. That makes sense? So they put it in italics to show you that it was not there, we put it there. Sometimes those words fit in, sometimes they don't. But in this case, I don't think a place will fit in for heavenly. Because by the time you say heavenly, you remove place. It's the word eporanos. I said we're going to get there this week. I'm sorry. We'll do a bit. E-P-O-U-R-A-N-I-O-S. E-P-O-U-R-A-N-I-O-S. The word heavenly. It's simple. It means not of the earth. Celestial. Celestial. Not of the earth. Let's look at that word. We look at everywhere it was used in the New Testament. Not too much. In Matthew 18, and I want you to take note of something. Then by the time we are done reading it, or going through all the references, you will discover why the word place will not be in place. The word place will be out of place. Matthew 18. No pun intended. It's intended. Matthew 18 verse 40. I could do 40. 35. The parable of the unforgiving servant. Let's come to verse 33. Should you not have had compassion on fellow servants, even as I had pity on you? I trust that you know this parable, right? Of the unforgiving servant, who was forgiving his own debt. Then when he now met the person that was owing him, he now said he must collect it. Then Jesus said, the Lord that now forgave him, now said, verse 33, should you not have compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had pity on you? As his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due to him. Can we read 35? So likewise shall every father do also unto you, if you from your heart forgive not everyone. So he calls the father heavenly. Why? Because you have a father, on earth. There's nobody that doesn't have father or mother. They might be late, might not be here physically. Everybody get mama. Hallelujah. So, for the fact that you have an earthly father, you will now call God heaven. Not of the earth. Make sense? Not of the earth. Heavenly Father. In John chapter 3, verse 12. Let's have verse 10. This is after Jesus has told Nicodemus, is every man born of the Spirit? Is every man born of water? Is every man, as the wind cometh? You don't know where it's going. You know where it's coming from. So is every man born of the Spirit? Nicodemus, then Jesus has rebuked him, verse 10. He said, are you a master of Israel? And you don't know about these things. Verse 11. Very, very, I say unto you, we speak that we do know, and testify that which you have seen, and you receive not our witness. Can we verse 12 together? If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe me if I tell you of, can you see that it's a contrast? Heaven and the earth. Fine. So if I have told you earthly things, what are the earthly things? The wind, the water. How can you not believe? How shall you understand heavenly things? Everything that be the Spirit. Thank you. If I tell you earthly things, you don't understand. How can you not believe? Like the guy that in the exam, he said, number 40, he said, photosynthesis, he said, spell it. How can they tell you answer? And you still don't know how to spell it. If I have told you the earthly things, hallelujah. Alright, that's just by the side. So again, he does a contrast here. Heaven to the earth. 1 Corinthians 15. Now, let's see how Paul uses it. The word heavenly. Pertaining to heaven, as it were. Not of the earth. 1 Corinthians 15. And I think 1 Corinthians 15 has the highest mention in any single book. Or in any single chapter. Excuse me. Verse 40. There are also celestial bodies. That word celestial is the word heavenly. Eporanus. There are also celestial bodies as bodies terrestrial. That's earthly. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is what? Another. So far, so good. The use of heavenly we are seeing for the Father, for the Spirit, for a body. There's a spiritual body. There's a spiritual body. Okay? Verse 48. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, Such are they also that are heavenly. Again, that's the contrast between Adam and Christ. Adam is earthy. As is the earthy, such are they. Is that Romans 5? Eh? By one man's sin, obedience, sin entered into the world, right? And became a similitude of those that were seen after the similitude of Adam's transgression, right? Abi? They said, if that happens, then grace also supersedes. Where sin abounds, grace abounds much more, right? Because by the righteousness of one shall many also be made righteous. Romans 5 verse 12 to 17. So, he brings that Romans 5 to Corinthians and say, as is the earthy, Adam, such are they that are also earthy. That's the same. The sinful nature. As is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. That's Christ, right? Right? So we see heavenly as a status, right? Of a man. Are you getting bored? This Bible study. You are waiting for 7-point agenda. Mom. Verse 49. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of what? Ephesians 1. Now, if you are with me, of all the references we are going to read, which book will be the most important? Of all the books we are going to reference, which one will be the most important? Ephesians itself. How can I say Corinthians? Ephesians itself. Alright, so Ephesians 1 now, verse 20. Verse 19 says, what is the exceeding greatness of his power which he wrought to us what we believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in, please escape. In heavenly. So he set Christ at his right hand. And when we say right hand, is right hand a physical space? Glorious abstract. Right hand is, the symbol of authority, the scepter. Where authority takes place. So he says, when he says he set him at his right hand, you find out that Psalm 110 verse 2. The Lord said to my Lord, sit down at my right hand, like make your enemies your footstool. Again, when he says sit at my right hand, he's not, Jesus will not sit down. Sit at my right hand is, you will not have all authority in heaven and the earth. That's Matthew 28:18. Make sense? Make sense? Right hand is always the symbol of authority, the symbol of power and dominion. That you have conquered. So, again, he said, when Christ rose from the dead, he set him at his right hand. That was when he had the authority. You learning something? What teaching can you then listen to for this one? Believer's authority over sickness and diseases. Yeah, believer's authority over sickness and diseases. You should listen to that. That will set straight right hand. Also, dialect of the prophet, series 3. Okay. So, we see Ephesians 1:20, Abi. Ephesians 2:6. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly in Christ. Sorry. Are you in Christ? No. Eh? You are. So, in that seat you are sitting now, are you sitting together in Christ? Don't let me be head like this. This is your seat that you are sitting now. No. Are you sitting together with Christ? Is this the seat? Eh? Because you eventually stand up. Ah. So are you not standing up in Christ? Like the brother that said, Lord, as we are starting this meeting, start with us. Ah. We will end the meeting sooner. Yeah, you will not end with us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you say he sits together in heaven, it's a figure of speech. It's that language of the Old Testament where when you have conquered, you can now rest. That makes sense? It is the symbol of rest. That is, you are not working. He made us sit together with Christ. So, he has conquered, he has dominion, we are now in his victory. That makes sense? So, he is sitting. Don't forget I said, right hand is used for the one who has dominion, who has conquered, who has authority. Fine? He has defeated the enemy, he now has the scepter of authority. Fine. So, if he has the scepter of authority, then he's resting. Because he has conquered the enemy. His enemy is now his footstool. Does it make sense? Sit down till I make your enemies your footstool. Psalm 110 verse 2. So if the enemy is now the footstool, that means he has dominion. Right? So the sitting is a figure of speech for what? rest and victory, right? Fine. So when you say we are seated together, this is not a city. Not this is your physical city. That is, we are identified in his victory. We are identified in his dominion. Does that make sense? We'll say all of that as we go and as we study that word, that phrase in Christ. Because that will now be the next thing. Because if it says, observe Ephesians, Paul's heavenly inefficiency is in Christ. Right? Have you seen that? From Ephesians 1:3, we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly in Christ. Ephesians 1:20, Ephesians 2:6. He qualifies heavenly in Christ. And why would Ephesians be the most important of our references? We thought that before. Because it's a book study. So when I'm reading a particular author, what I do is, if he says a word I don't understand, I will look at his usage of that word in that book. Is it making sense? That's the way to study. He says heavenly. I don't know what heavenly means. So I'm going to look at that author in his book, that same Ephesians. How did he use the word heavenly? Then if I cannot find it, I will now look for other books written by the same author. In fact, let me filter it more around the same time. So that brings in your timelines now. Make sense? Around the same time. Oh, he wrote Galatians. Oh, it's been long. But he wrote almost together Ephesians and Colossians. Right? Probably alongside with Philemon. Those were his prison letters. Fine. If you wrote them together then, I can look at those letters to say, oh, this is what he must be saying. That makes sense? Before I now go to Galatians. Hear what I'm saying now. Another way you can also study it, you got emphatic mention. Oh, if he mentioned it so much in this chapter, then that means that chapter is where I should go to. For example, if you are talking about believers meeting and the things of the Spirit, especially utterance, and you don't go to 1 Corinthians 14, well, it's possible. I thought if you read 1 Corinthians 14 before. But that's where the emphatic mention is. You should not be missing that. That's a cake. Hallelujah. Alright. Ephesians 3. To the intent that now, verse 10, to the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly, might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. Here he didn't put in Christ. Ephesians 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against rulers of the darkness, and against spiritual wickedness in heavenly. Used in I. In heavenly. That's the word Eporanos. That word I. This one is not in Christ. Spiritual wickedness. He's just saying it is not of the earth. That makes sense? That makes sense? That's why you listen very well to this. When you find opposition in the preaching of the gospel, it's not of the earth. Stop seeing men. Stop seeing men as the opposition. Someone is saying you must not come and preach there again. It's not the opposition. The spiritual wickedness is in the heavenly. Isn't it making sense? Someone suddenly just say, he's not doing church again. And you say, that's how he is. That's what he does. No. The warfare is in the heavenly. The moment what they want to do is to turn your eyes to the earth, to men. Oh, that's his character. Oh, he's because of his mother. No. Don't turn your eyes to the earthly. You win such battles in prayer. Because it's heavenly. That makes sense? It's not like giving advice. It's heavenly. Battle for battle. Fire for fire. Blood for blood. Life for life. Amen. Amen. I think the warfare. When we get to warfare, you know life for life. Okay? In heaven. Alright. Philippians 2. Let us have verse 10. That ye may approve. Philippians 2. Or Philippians 1. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven. Things in heaven and in earth, and things under the earth. 2 Timothy 4. Verse 18. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. Unto whom be... So when you hear heavenly kingdom, what do you think? Eh? The kingdom that is not of the earth. In the kingdom of the earth, what happens? He will preserve me to his heavenly kingdom. Isaiah. Eh? It will end. Isaiah. It will end. The earthly kingdom will always end. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Abby? We've explained that in this teaching. Fine. So, when you say heavenly kingdom, the kingdom that is not of the earth, a kingdom that is everlasting, right? So he's not talking much of a place than of the nature of the kingdom. Is it making sense? Hallelujah. He's not talking of a place, apparently. He'll preserve me to his heavenly kingdom. That is, after this earth is gone, I would be in a place that stays forever. Or that lasts forever. Okay. We'll see there. Hebrews 3. Verse 1. This one is very important too. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the epistle of our profession, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 6:4. We need to rush now. For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gifts and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, that if they tasted the word of good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them unto repentance, seeing that they crucified themselves with the Son of God and put them into our own ship. I've explained that before in the salvation trophy. Hebrews 8, but observe the word heavenly gifts. So he calls salvation heavenly gifts, right? Right? That is, not of the earth. Hebrews 8, verse 5. Verse 4 says, for if he were on the earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. Verse 5. Who serve unto an example of a shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished that when he was about to make tabernacle. It was a shadow of heavenly things. So, he calls the things of the earth a shadow. It covers the reality of heavenly things. Shadow does not mean, the way many people have used it. It's a type of shadow. And when the ark is a shadow of Christ, you think you are saying it's going to talk about Christ. Fine. But what you're saying, when you say shadow, is skia, obscurity. What you are saying is that it blots us from seeing Christ. Exactly what, that's what the ark did. So because by seeing the ark, that's all I see. It now takes revelation to now say, oh, I see beyond the shadows. This is what Christ would do. That makes sense? Shadow means skia. What blocks your view? What obscures? It obstructs your view. Darkness. That makes sense? That's why we call God in James 1, without no variableness nor shadow of turning. No variableness nor shadow of turning. Hallelujah. Let me stop. It's getting thick. Okay. Hebrews 9:23. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens be purified with this, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than this. The heavenly things, the things that are not of the earth, better than this. When you say better, what does it mean in Hebrews? Study group. Eh? Perfect? Permanent. Yes. Permanent sacrifice. Hebrews 11, verse 16. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one, where God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he prepares for them a city, a people, polis actually, P-O-L-I-S, prepares for them a people. You see where Greek comes in, you'd have thought it's a city. And this is where the comedy of we are going to heaven comes in. And you think, one day, we all gather in a place on the street of gold. I love that. Gold. Everywhere gold. When you see gold, you know you're on the earth. That's the truth. Because so far, heavenly means not of the earth. So when you see heavenly immaterial, that's what it means. Unseen. Unseen. And that's why he would call those things that, those blessings, he calls them in heavenly. Because you are going to explain to me how you are going to see forgiveness of sin. It's unseen. You don't, just like you don't see love. You don't see love. The only thing you see is the act. You can't see love. Oh, he hugged me. He sent me a message. That's an act of love. Love itself is an unseen reality. Some people you are spoiling my head now. No, I'm not. I'm just telling you the truth. Okay, have you seen hatred before? No. No. You only saw the demonstration of hatred. Just like you don't see the spirit, but you see the gifts of the spirit in action. Right? You see the demonstration of the spirit. So a man comes and says, there's someone here. You are diagnosed with tuberculosis. In the name of Jesus, you are healed. Now what you just saw is a demonstration of the spirit. The spirit itself is unseen. The spirit itself is heaven. Abi? John 3:12. Abi? Abi? So when you say heavenly, the moment you mention heavenly, it is with the unseen. Heavenly Father. You don't see him. Have you? Eh? Have you? As opposed to the Heavenly Father, you can see. He is the Heavenly Father. That's why you don't hear anything like Heavenly Son. The Spirit and the Father, heavenly. The Son, you can see. Let's do that tonight. So the pastor, don't hang me. Young girl. Hebrews 12. In fact, the stress of the epistle, where he stressed it, is that he stresses the humanity of the Son and uplifts the Heavenly Father. Paul will keep stretching and overflowing the fact that one man, Christ, one man, he is with us. We saw him. He didn't come. The Word was made flesh. John. He all kept flogging that fact that the Son came to us. The Father is heaven. Hallelujah. Everything will make sense. Just put your eyes on the ball. Is that clear? If you look away, you are gone. For the next 25 seconds. Okay, Hebrews 12 verse 22. As we close. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem and an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn. Again, everything is one place. Innumerable company of angels is the general assembly, is the church of the firstborn, is the city of the living God, it is Zion. He's not talking about many places, he's talking about one people. Zion. The city of the living God. The heavenly Jerusalem. The church of God. The heavenly Jerusalem. Why heavenly Jerusalem? Because there's an earthly Jerusalem that can be seen. But the mistake is that we now bring a kingdom, an earthly kingdom to our senses. What we now create in our head is a better earthly kingdom. A finer earthly kingdom. It is the heavenly Jerusalem. And that's where you are. Me, where I am. Ha, the people don't know that I stay in Laza. We don't even have like, that's heavenly Jerusalem. How this one thing is heaven? Heaven. No apostle talked about disappearing to a place in the entire Bible. Before you misquote me and say, that pastor, what is he saying? He didn't say there's no heaven. I'm not saying that. Hallelujah. There is heaven. Someone say, yeah, because you have suffered so much. You feel there's just one hope. Man, don't suffer again. There's just one hope, that heaven. That's why Paul will now say, I'm praying for you. And that's what you're starting to be enlightened. Can you say, it requires prayer now? Eh? You see, we are seated with him in heavenly. Heavenly. In the world of the past. But he said, we are seated. What he said, I'm praying for you that you will see it.
They are.
You actually can see it. Amen. It can make more sense to you. Hallelujah. And that's why, you see, people who are convinced and have seen this, they speak in absolute terms. I recall, what's this reverend that died earlier this year? Hey, yeah. Rabbi Zachariah. He said something. And I love what he said. He said, because of what Paul has said, I know there's never a time I'll be no more. Bragin also said the same thing. He said, I will never be, it will never be said of me that he's no more. And that's true. Because in the urban Jerusalem, there's no passing away. So, again, he said, I don't understand what this is. That's where we pray. Hallelujah. We pray that our eyes will understand. That's the Pauline prayer now. I mean, that we see in Ephesians every time. That we pray before every service. That your eyes will understand be flooded with light. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. The riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. The exceeding greatness of his power. That you may know. If you do, that means the only way you find out these things is by prayer. When the Bible tells you to pray about something, it means that's how it gets done. That you may know what is, that your eyes may be flooded with light. Amen. Amen. We're going to be praying that prayer. Hallelujah. For ourselves. So, he says we are blessed. Back to Ephesians 1:3. That's where we are. Blessed with all spiritual blessings. And we say spiritual blessings, we mean blessings in the spirit, of the spirit, and by the spirit. Blessings in the spirit, of the spirit, and by the spirit. It says, you are blessed with all these blessings. Because, in heavens. Because chances are high that you can't, because I'm blessed, me like this, I'm blessed. I'm blessed, Pastor, maybe you're reading this day. That's in heaven. In Christ. And that in Christ will unlock everything for us. Hopefully, we are able to explore heavenly much more next time. And the phrase in Christ. You learn something? Can we pray for ourselves today?